July 25th, 2017. It's a Watch from Pedro show.
Outside.
Watt from Pedro show and Pedro, but now with Brother Matt, he teeth are being extracted. And also, I know he's got a hip thing coming up, so I think maybe next week, but I am not man alone in the physical sense. Well, yes, in the physical sense, but in the meeting of mind sense through the magic of good engineers in Estonia via Skype. I got Matt Jones from Northampton, Massachusetts.
Hello.
Yeah. And we heard, we just heard you do Outsider on the Outside. And ahead of that was starting off the show like all the Watt from Pedro shows, John Coltrane. And here he was with Thelonious Monk doing Pistrophe. It's live, and for some reason, they lost most of the song. We got the beginning part, and it's beautiful. Matt, going back, think in your mind your earliest musical memory.
Yeah. Well, I guess my earliest musical memories were in my house. Like, my dad really had a lot of records and listened to music. So I was really quick to start playing his records. And I remember one day, like, him coming home from work, and I had one of his records on, and he said, "You know, Matt, I don't care what happens to you, but you have really good taste in music." So that was really a priority in our household.
Now, was he was he a listener only, or did he make music also?
Only a listener. On his side of the family, only listener. But my mother's side was the musical side. So my grandfather was a jazz guy, saxophone player, and then my uncle was a drummer who turned me on to drums, and also a Minuteman and Butthole Surfers, Black Flag, Bad Brains fan who turned me on to all of them. And through him, I got my drum set, and I'd save up money and buy drum equipment. And every time we'd have a family holiday with the O'Briens, we'd have a big jam session downstairs, usually some kind of jazz thing.
So there was instruments in the house.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And so
This is stuff you acquired. They weren't there before you got them. Can you tell me the first record you bought yourself?
It's kind of funny. I guess my earliest memory, I think I was really into, as a kid, a little kid, I was really into Kiss. The first album with Detroit Rock City and all that. And just as a kid, I was really into the painted faces and the spectacle of it.
I think that's the fifth record.
Oh, is that the fifth record? Detroit Rock City?
That's okay. Sorry. Well, I think it was called Destroyer.
Destroyer, right. As a kid, it was my
first. I remember,
my
by
first.
That time, they were on lunch pails.
Right. And for as a kid, it was a big thing for me, that kind of stuff. The Kiss Army. Well, I was such a young kid by then. You know, like I wasn't really aware. Like, people would give me the tapes and that kind of thing. But then my uncle and my grandfather started making me mixtapes. Like, I'd get a mixtape with the Minutemen, the Offs, a lot of Butthole Surfers, a lot of Angry Samoans, just a lot of different stuff.
The Offs, so you knew about them. They were San Francisco. Oh. Yeah.
Yep.
Kind of.
So I get all these mixtapes. Exactly. Yep.
But these things, again, they were given to you. I'm curious about, what's the first one you bought? It was this Kiss Destroyer record?
Yeah, I think it was that.
Now, did you have music in school, like a class or something?
Yeah, I mean, I bought a drum set at a young age. I was already into drums. And so my parents would really encourage me, and my mom really encouraged me. So they would drive me to drum lessons and stuff like that. So I'd always take lessons. But as a drummer, I never, I never learned. I learned how to read some drum music.
Yeah, I'm
but
talking
I never,
more about, like, the school band, marching band, that kind of stuff.
A little bit. But I was never, I was always very shy. So, like, there was one year where I was doing school band, and I got to do the cymbals for the Star Wars theme. Dun-ch, dun-ch, like,
that's
that kind of thing, on an offbeat. Yeah, percussion. So that was really cool. But it was more on my own type of thing. I was never very literate enough to read the drum music on sight, and I never learned the notes and that type of thing.
Now, what about after school with your buddies in the garage or something?
Absolutely. Like, with my family during the holidays, and I had a band. My best friend in school was my bass player, and his mother was Korean, and so that's how I first got into Korean culture. His name is Mike Cook. And so later on, I went to live in Korea, and it was really interesting. So yeah, I was playing music all the time. And also, I was always working at pizza shops and restaurants so I could buy music equipment and always have like really good
music. Yeah, let's talk about, what about recording? Did you start recording yourself?
No. So that didn't happen until later on. Like I was into playing music, and I was really into Tony Williams and Bonham and Keith Moon and all that kind of stuff. But there was like a disconnect between my songwriting and recording and playing music. So I was a big writer into writing songs and also a drummer, but they didn't come together until much later when I got into the Northampton recording, independent recording, home recording thing.
Yeah, and it all kind of came together. I'm curious, how could you remember the songs if you didn't record them? And you said you didn't know notation that well.
Yeah, you just play them, and I would write. I was really into writing lyrics. So since I was a little kid, like every year, I would have this big portfolio of songs. I actually throw them away every year and start new.
Okay.
So I had the songwriting thing and then the drum thing. But it wasn't later until I got into making them into songs.
Yeah, what about this tune here? We're gonna play Lawnmower Races.
Yeah, Lawnmower Races I did this past year when I moved back here to Northampton after about 10 years living abroad in Asia and in Europe. And it was my take on the culture out here where, you know, everybody has a lawn and it's competitive and this type of thing. And when I write songs, I like to get into a character. And so it was a character who's, you know, observes the lawnmower races. And then in the second verse, the guy kind of tries to invite a girlfriend to go see the lawnmower races with them. In the small town where I grew up, actually, every summer they have like a lawnmower race where people like soup up their lawnmowers and then like race them and stuff like that. But I think that whole culture is really funny. In the world of the now, sometimes it snows and nobody knows where the water goes. Up on your toes as the gardener mows in the lawn. If you were my boo, I'd wait for you. Got tissues and blue, get the ring for you when you go.
I am a skater. I am punk rock.
Thank you. premiere ready to pop the hatch, give myself the heave-ho. Man, just to be back in my Pedro town and filling my indoor with Pedro Chow. I gotta keep on pushing. Keep on pushing onward through the bleakness. Gotta keep on pushing. You know, if you're into this, I mean really into this, damn sure be ready for some hills and some valleys. But lots of pushing. Keep on pushing. Gotta keep on pushing.
If you drop another one, I'm game for that type of fun. We can discuss the details of our schemes over drinks. I got a real good feeling, man, and this kid gives me a plan. I'll stay, maybe by my own place. But for now, you're right, let's rage. Drinks are you with statue stay. Hold up, just wait. Something feels strange. It's just like you say, and I need you to page my mind. It's just like you say, and I need you to page my
cherry lips. coming back. Swimming as slow as a wet paper bag. Crooked hat on the weird witch's head. Dealing with ideas to break our bed.
Watford Pedro Show. That was Lawnmower Races. And B. Jones. Then we, I think London now, Jamie Liz, but Mind Jail. That's Jamie from The Arteries and Pale Angels. His new band, Mind Jail, Dog Heaven. And after that was Leavel with that Pierced My Brain, also featuring Benedict Edwards. Both those cats are going to play with me when I'm next in London at the end of September. I think it's the 27th of September, Cafe Odo. Actually, the second night, because the first night I'm with Thurston, and he does a Q&A with me. They'll sell you down my Nile tour coming. Tobacco, Slaughtered by the Amway Guy. Great tune. Aaron Lum with Meditation for the Steel Workers. I thought that was appropriate. Kind of a mantra. Chato Ghetto, brand new, 5,150-foot Mike Watt. And I have some spiel in there. Guided by Voices, not their latest because they just came out with another one, but this was number 100. Upon the Circus Bus. Brand new from Howie Reeve out of Glasgow. That's where he's living these days. Columbo Repeats. His buddies, the Sun Shapes, after that, Itchy Eyes. And finally, Jan Bart with the final of his Doorbell Ditties, number 6. He was on last week. Do you remember your first gig in front of people besides the family things, man?
Yeah, well, I'm just starting to do like live performances now. I was really into recording and that kind of thing, but I did do a live performance as Gigi Band and with Gian. My friend invited us out when we were living in Busan together, and we first started the band. My friend invited us out to Gyeongju, which is like the historical capital of Korea with all the ancient relics and stuff like that, a couple hours outside of Busan. And we went and we did a show there.
So you're telling me the first gig you did was actually later in your life,
yeah,
out of the country. Before that, you're just jamming for yourself and making songs, playing for the family. You don't really take it in front of people.
That's right. That's right. I mean,
I've been
like
playing music
I like
from you for over 10 years.
Yes.
People, yeah, you've been listening like to the Watford Pedro Show, and in fact, you can listen back to the archives. Use the search engine and search for Matt Jones, MB Jones, GG Band. You'll find that I've been playing his music for a long time. I've been a fan for a long while. I never knew how this music existed. I knew it was something very important to you and personal, and I felt that through that. But I didn't know it was not really played for people. Okay. Well, I played it for people.
Yes, you did. You were the one.
Okay. So what was that first gig like among with that historical context, old Korea?
It was great. And also, I mean,
what was it part of it? Was a festival or
No, it was just a little Korean restaurant, and they my friend kind of organized a show with, and there was a writer who read some of his work there and some poetry, and we performed a couple of songs off our first album, which were kind of just very simple. And for Gian too, she's not a performer or a musician in that way. I mean, I'm the one that got her into recording. So it was just very fun. And then later on, when we lived in the Bay Area together, we did like an a cappella performance at the Hotel Utah, like that famous old place.
Yeah.
Right. And so we went there. Yeah, and we were going to do a show with a musician, like a guitar player, but he, like, canceled on us that day. And so we're just like, forget it, we'll just do an a cappella. So
we
just did a song.
That's lame.
It's very lame, very lame. But, you know, it ended up being really powerful because people were kind of shocked. We just got up there and just, like, let it all out with no backing. So,
well, you know, the first version of the Screamers was actually vocalists. They were called the Tupperwares.
Oh, wow.
They had a backup band. Yeah, they were actually from Seattle. In fact, one of the guys in the backup band was Eldon, El Duce, the Mentors leader, believe it or not. Little factoid there. So, okay, so performing for you. You know, I think there's a lot of this, and I think the tradition goes back too. It's not really meant for performing. It's meant as some kind of other way of expressing yourself, maybe not so much publicly, but using music as a device to get feelings out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like you said you were writing lyrics way young. And then the first musical instrument you started on was drums.
Yes.
So the voice was the melody for you.
Yes.
And you didn't really play a melodic instrument at first, and so it's always been like a backup for you.
Yes.
Oh, you know a drummer from out there, Bob Fay.
Bob Fay, yes.
How far back do you go with him?
So Bob Fay is the guy who basically turned me on into doing what I did now. After I was living in the Netherlands for a while, I moved back home and I started working at Trader Joe's in Hadley, and I started working with him. And he had recently moved to the area, and he was just doing, I don't think he was playing that much music at the time, he was just doing casual stuff at his house, and we just started hanging out. And
Where do really, I know him? I know him from Sorry and Volcano Sons.
And Sabado. I mean, he played with...
That's right.
Right. He played on Bake Sale and I think Smash Your Head on Punk Rock and Pink Moon.
Yeah,
and
Harmacy,
some great albums.
But even before that, there was many guys Peter had in Volcano Sun. Bob Weston, one of them.
Yeah, Volcano Sun. I got to see them. And one of my favorite projects.
I remember Bob playing in Sorry, too, of this Boston Quartet.
I haven't heard them. I remember him.
Well,
we
actually did gigs with him. They lost their singer. And then I think Bob came out west and he had something called Straight to Video or something.
Right, yes. I mean, he used to play me videos of them playing and stuff like that. And he was involved with a lot of projects. And he, you know, was just one of those people who's like really attracted to unique musician artist types, and he's got like a serious passion for music, serious record collection and book collection. So I would just go to his house and we just talk about music and play music, and I would hear all these stories about, you know, Lou Barlow and the home recording and how they met. I mean, he used to write letters to people
out there, listeners, if you're not aware, the last song and You're Living All Over Me is a song called Polito, and it's kind of the template that Lou Barlow did tons of home recording. In fact, you know, I know about this even before I knew Lou, because he would send these tapes to Kim Gordon, and this where he overdubbed on himself. They'd be layers and layers of overdubs. Lou Barlow's one of my favorite singers too. I just love his voice.
Yes.
But he was way into this homespun. You just do this because you want to do it.
Exactly.
So you know, I have a project with a guy from Brighton, England called Cuz.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the name from actually a Richard Hell Poetry Journal called that. But it always reminded me of this joke. Why does a dog lick his balls? Because he can.
Yes.
You know, and that's basically the idea why we did that project, because we can. And especially when, in your case, or a lot of young people nowadays, like Jian, things are more econo. Anybody can make recordings now. And it was a lot tougher in the older days. Yeah. So when people talk about the bad new days, they should realize, in some ways, music is way more accessible now.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, and then the way I find out about you is something that was not even heard of when I was a boy, the internet.
Yes.
And it was the way me and D. Boone heard about bands that wasn't in SoCal. Like, we would get the fanzine from, you know, D.C. or, what was that one called? Touch and Go that Tesco did. There was one called OP up in the Northwest. From the fanzines, you would know about bands. And actually, a lot of guys wrote in these things. I remember Jeffrey Lee Pierce and Slash's. The Gun Club guy, right? His name was Rankin Jeffrey Lee, because he always wrote about reggae and ska. And you could tell they're very passionate. But that's how you would kind of get turned on, you know? You had no way. Because the straight press, whatever, jive rock and roll machine, you know, they it was very much a door to keeping things out, filtering things out. And only real square jawed shit come through. And so... Yeah. When the internet came out, and all of a sudden I could hear people, it really leveled the playing field, and it restored my confidence in the movement.
Nice.
The movement was a series of ethics. It wasn't a style or a pose or a kind of a fashion or clothes. It was actually this idea that if you don't find a way, then you make your own. parallel universe. And that's what I always got from your music. I didn't know how it existed, how it lived. It didn't matter. Because when it came through the speakers, it spoke to me. And to me, that was really inspiring. It wasn't
Thank
like
you.
What me and D. Boone, Georgie, were doing was like in one little period. It was like, no, it's part of this whole thing. And you could go way before it, you know, Walt Whitman and
yeah.
whatever, Woody Guthrie. But then you can go way after it. And we're just one part of that thing. I was talking to these people yesterday for Razor Cake. It's their 100th issue in fanzine. And just the idea of zine culture. And I strongly felt that there could have been a parallel with the internet where everybody would have their own website and it'd be like their own fanzine. There'd be no filter.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, I paid the Kinko's man or I worked there.
Yeah.
Whatever. But here yeah. it is. There's not no compromise here. No
compromise.
Yeah. It's coming out unfiltered. It's coming out. And if it's stumble bum, then maybe it is for now, and I'll work on that. Or maybe that's the way I want it. I like it raw.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So, but, no man is a vacuum. So people like Bob Fay, your uncle, what's your uncle's name?
Eric O'Brien.
Yeah. Uncle yeah. Eric there. These uncle are important Eric. People. I want to impress upon this, too, because you do get the idea of it's nothing but, you know, individuals and some kind of crazy Ayn Rand distortion, you know, and it's not. It's still about people.
Mm-hmm.
People alone, people running into each other, people bouncing stuff off each other, people even reacting against each other. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it is about human stuff. And I think that's why the arts are important, why they are a necessary fabric. And I just love the way you went about it. And also, it seems you're not dependent so much on this idea of genre. It's just Matt Jones' right. music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
I like breaking genre and breaking categories and all that kind of stuff. Breaking the rules, all that.
Yeah. Even the break the rule.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem with skepticism, right? If
right.
you're really skeptical, you got to be skeptical. And so that's why people laugh, ha-ha, you're just chasing your tail, you're a sophist. But
We don't have to get that deep.
We are at the end of the first hour of the July 25, 2017 Dish Out for Peter show. Special guest, M.B. Jones from Northampton, Massachusetts. Hold tight for hour two. July 25th, 2017. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Across from the Yellow Palace with the walking to Angkor Wat.
breath. We should have thrown a lifeline. Need your way out this time. But it's like you're always begging. It's a beautiful mystery.
Color has been processed.
Watch for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Gigi Band doing Stegosaurus' Carved at Angkor Wat. Yeah, let's talk about two things here. Because you mentioned Gigi Band, and that's one of your first performances. But also, what about this song? Were you traveling in Cambodia?
I traveled in Cambodia and in Angkor Wat, huge ancient temple. And there's different parts, but there's one part, they call it the Tomb Raider Temple, where that movie, Tomb Raider, the Angelina Jolie movie, was filmed. But there's a certain little carving there that looks like a stegosaurus. And the guy pointed it out to me. He's like, there's proof that there were dinosaurs around when humans were around. I mean, I don't know if it's scientific, but it really exists. You can Google the image. It's there. So I made this song about it, and I made it with my friend, who was studying film at the time in Busan with me, named Vante Morn. And she's living back in Cambodia now, and she's a documentary filmmaker. And so she's doing the vocals.
Okay. So stegosauruses and human beings were around at the same time.
Well,
there's a weird kind of chapel in Edinburgh in Scotland, mm-hmm. near it, called Roslyn. Sinclair family built it. It's got a aloe vera. This is 100 years before Chris Columbus. So, yeah, things are trippy like that. Now,
yeah.
We're talking 63, 68 million years difference. Well, maybe, but what was that guy from Holland? Erik van Däniken. Yeah, the Aztec and Mayan guys are flying in spaceships in some of their drawings.
Right. Oh, there you go.
Ancient Astronauts, I think his book. No, Chariots of the Gods. That was the name of this book.
Yes.
It was when I in the 70s when I was in school. And I remember it was very interesting. Then they found out some guy was making a fake pottery for him or something. I don't know.
Right. A lot of fake stuff.
There's some scandals.
Yes. But
anyway, well, talk about the GG band now, the band that recorded that.
Yeah, so GG band basically was just Gian and I. We had a relationship for a really long time, probably since 2012, a really long time for me, I guess. But after a while, we were just like, let's start making songs together. But I wanted to keep it simple and do it from the non-musician perspective. And so, we started making beats and music on our iPhones with different apps. And we started making songs, and we started inviting other people, like Vante, who's a Cambodian singer, and Bob Fay, and Tim Sheldon, Fat Worm of Error, and John Maloney.
A Korean bass guy too, right?
Yes. And our last album, who I met through your podcast.
I played some of his music. I think he's in a hardcore band.
He's a really interesting guy.
Yeah. Was he a Busan guy?
No, he's in Seoul. Actually, we haven't met.
Seoul.
We plan to meet next year, but we have
you know, through music. Believe me, Matt, I've done so many collaborations with cats I've never even met. But in a way, you have a stronger bond. It's a different bond because you've joined with them musically. And again, this is one of the things that isn't lame about the bad new days. You can mm-hmm. collaborate like that, which was impossible in the old days.
Exactly.
It's really kind of neat. Really,
so there's a lot of that.
I remember doing the first Dose album with Kay.
Yeah.
And what we did was we each got one of them Tascam 4-track cassette recorders. Mm-hmm. And I record on a track, send the cassette to her. She was doing an internship at Yale after she graduated UCLA. And then mm-hmm. she put on send back the cassette. It was all these cassettes going back through the mail. mean, yeah, that was kind of sophisto. But nowadays, I mean, it's really interesting. Here, let's talk about some of the other songs. I played Nervous Gender, the last one from that only album they got to do, Christian Lovers. I Took Your Name with Honey Trap. I had them on last week. They were Dutch dudes, Jan Bart and Chris. Groningen from North Park. What part did you live when you were in the Netherlands?
So I was always in Leiden. I studied at the university there. Okay. I lived there maybe like three different times. So I have a strong connection to that place.
Tom Watson studied in Utrecht for about 6 months. Electronics.
That's a cool city.
Yeah. They all are. They all have their own little identity. That's why I mean, we say Holland, but that's only one part. It's Netherlands because it's a collection of a lot of little parts. It's interesting.
Right.
Then I am a photograph by Pink Courtesy Phone and Kid Congo Powers. People, Kid Congo, I think he just moved to Massachusetts, maybe.
Really?
Either Boston or Providence, Rhode Island next door. But he's in D.C. a long while. But he ran the Ramones fan club here in SoCal. He's been in the Gun Club and the Cramps.
Nice.
And now he's got his Pink Monkey Birds and great bass man, Kiko.
Okay.
Nels Klein, his Lovers with Introduction, Diaphonus, and finally Tenko with The Watchdog of the Labyrinth. She's just making music with her voice now. And I think she supports her kids by making tofu, Mr. Jim Rourke told me. But you're saying that you like to use your voice a lot of time in the a cappella stuff, and she's way into that. You got another tune here called Everybody Makes Mistakes. We're going to play next. Yeah, tell us something about that.
Well, I recorded it in this past year in my life, and
so it's kind of contemporary.
Contemporary, and I just came to a point in my life where I just made so many mistakes, and I just they accumulated. So it was kind of like a really cathartic song, and I worked on it with my friend Conrad, who's in Sunburn, Hand of the Man, and guitarist.
You know what? Yeah. I might know a guy from that band, John Maloney.
Yeah, he plays on. He's with GG Band. He plays drums.
So we got a lot more connections.
Conrad told me that he interviewed you back in the day with Bob Fay. Like he's a long time
might have been, fan. But I know John Maloney through being in Thurston's Chelsea Light Moving.
Oh yeah, he's my
now
favorite
I think
drummer.
He's a road time. Boss for Jay Maskus.
Exactly.
A dinosaur. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing drummer and good guy. A really good guy.
Yeah. Small world.
Yep.
Okay. So you worked on it with these guys. Now what's the process?
So, it's just I start with my song and just build it and build it. And a lot of the times, like, I'll make the song and there'll be a lot of lyrics and a lot of explaining and stuff like that. And I usually, like, cut it down a lot so it's really minimal. And then I collaborate with other
people. You kind of distill it. You boil it down.
Distill it, yeah. Boil it down, yeah.
Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, and I sure make a lot. Everybody makes mistakes, but I sure make a lot.
There's no 5 without a 4, no 4 without a 3, no 3 without a 2, no 2 without a 1, and 1 without a 1, without a 1, without a 1, without a 1.
Thank you. Thank you. some of the skin curves that arise. Check my bird, check my chest, heart complete. There are bones of the sinners that arise. Shake my birth, shake my chest. I can play still before dawn. There is something I'm gonna let you know before you take it. There is something I'm gonna let you know before you take it. It's enough to make out a way. Hold my toes, so we walk to where am I? There is something I'm gonna let you know before you take it. There is something I'm gonna let you know before you take it. Here's enough to make out a way. Come on, come on, here's enough to make out a way. Come on, come on, here's enough to make out a way. Come on, come on, there is something I'm gonna let you know. Wait a minute, you're now, there is something now.
Ti ho incontrata davanti a un bidone che dell'immondizia, il savio eri sporca, ma sprizzavi malizia, e di colpo mi innamorai di una spazzina, lo fai. Ogni volta che passavi oltre il ruote e la scopa, e ogni volta che mi affacciavo eri a fianco a una topa, e di colpo mi innamorai della sua topa, lo fai. Ed io mi chiedo come abbiamo fatto, io borghese e tu impiegato della nettezza urbana, ad avere un amore così limpido e perfetto. Tu spazzina e io borghese fighetto.
No, no, no. energia. Esta lengua y su espíritu nos marca. Con el paraíso, al pinto lo listo. Con el camino, al pinto lindo.
Okay, everybody makes mistakes. M.B. Jones. Then the Healers after that with Sauk Valley. No, Sauk Village, just west of Chicago. That's James. And Free Anxiety Therapy for the Poor, 101, Part 1. Oaks. Curlin Stone Factory, Super Freak, Isn't Up to Me, Centauri, Proximan Centauri, Arabia Saudade, Ponto Deserto, Desert Idiot, I guess. Gemocio Fubio, with La Operatrice della Nataza Urbana. Frog Women Ghost Story, and finally Maximilian the First. That's his stage name. Life on Mars. And what were you saying again about the process there with the Everybody yep. makes mistakes. The boiling
so
it
basically,
down.
Basically, boiling it down. I mean, I have my lyrics, but I really like to boil it down. I try not to explain myself and that kind of thing a lot. And but I like to work with people with a very unique perspective. And so with the people I choose to work with, I give them kind of free range to play whatever they want. But my big thing is like
you don't go all helicopter on them.
No. That's why I choose them, so they can do whatever
sure,
they
let
want.
Let the freak flag fly.
Yeah, exactly. And that, but my thing is I do have a control thing though, because I really like doing the mixing. That's my thing. So even whether we're in the studio or we do home recording, I always take the files back to home and I do the mixing on my computer. And so I have the final kind of cut and the way the song forms, sure. but I get input from them too, because that's why I love music. It's collaborative, and different people see perspectives differently, you know, and it's easy to get blindsided from one perspective.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely,
so I always,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for that insight. People got to realize that. It's a journey, man. It's very interesting. Second hour, July 25, 2017, edition Walk Peter Show, special guest MB Jones. We'll type for hour three. July 25, 2017. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show started off the third hour with Gigi Band doing AI, The Morning Commute. Was that when you were in the East Bay Area?
Exactly, yeah. Me, Gian and I were both living in the Bay Area. I was
What's
in
there, the Nimitz Freeway, I-880?
I don't know, to be honest, because I never drove when I was out there. I rode the bus. I rode the bus everywhere.
Okay. So it's that kind of commute. Because
yeah,
they got some plug. The German word is Stau. Perfect word.
Mm-hmm.
Total fucking plug. Yeah, parking lot style driving is catching on everywhere. It's not just for SoCal anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, and that's what I was thinking of when I was hearing this tune.
Well, in a way.
Yeah, right. on the bus is just as bad, yeah, of course.
On the bus and walking around. Like, I was doing a lot of substitute teaching in Oakland at the time, and every morning I'd have to wake up and find where I was going, and I'd use my phone, and also the Bay Area is, Silicon Valley, so everything was, like, technology, and it was really interesting. And also, it was kind of a collision of, like, old world and new world.
Sure.
Because gentrification was, like, the Silicon Valley was spreading out into Oakland, so a lot of people were getting evicted.
Yeah.
So you'd see all this old technology, like, trashed on the street and people moving in.
Yeah.
And I'd just be walking around East Oakland trying to find the school where I'm working at.
Yeah.
On Google Maps and stuff. So it was inspired by that.
Yeah. Great source material. Then we heard David Gerard. He's a Massachusetts guy with Saturday for Scott from his guitar record. And then Brendan Etter Ensemble, Vulnerability. Yeah, he gave that to me on York Street in Highland Park. I was in Highland Park doing an interview yesterday. Man, is that neighborhood. You're talking about gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
Exterminators, Cream of My Jeans. That's got Don Bowles. And produced by Chris Kirkwood of the Puppets. He's been doing a lot of work for that label lately. And then the Bronx, Osaka Band, I think next week they're going to come play Pedro. Poser nice. Now, poser forever. Remember that word, poser?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of French spelling, right? And then Round Eye, they're on tour in Europe with Troma. They're the cats at Laowai guys. That's how you say foreigner in China, who took us around in March, first time there. Talk about the collision of old and new worlds.
Yeah, that's really impressive, Mike. I was really impressed that you did a tour of China because,
well, it was,
I mean,
because of these guys around us. They invited us. The connection was Brother Steve McKay. They had brought him twice before.
Right.
Brother Steve was really connected, and also with Europe too, underground experimental music. Yeah, the big love for him. Okay, what do you got on the cooker right now, Matt?
These days, I'm just finishing working on a solo album, and I really want to start performing live. Like, for me, I really like movies and films, so recording and making albums is a lot like making a film and
sure.
editing and shooting. But I want to get into the theatrics and the performing part of it. So I went out and bought, like, I sold a bunch of my old drum equipment, and I bought equipment to perform with, and I'm just starting work on that.
Are you going to put together a band?
Yeah, I want to put together a band, but I also want to be able to do it, like, with minimal equipment
sure.
by myself also. I mean, it's one of the interesting things about music. Like, I love collaborating, but at the same time, it can make it very difficult if you're working with other people and the schedules are different and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I'd love to have a band.
What's that scary word? Personalities?
Yeah, and the more interesting the personality, the better the musician, which makes it harder, and
Yeah, okay. You got a name for this album?
Not yet.
Okay, that's okay. Still, you don't have to have
yeah.
them. Most people, I don't know. Like, for me, my songwriting process, I got to start with titles. Most people don't do that.
Yeah.
So I can understand
an album. I have a lot of themes.
Okay,
I have themes. A lot of themes and stuff, but no title yet.
Okay. What about this $200,000 ticket to space? This was a spacey
yeah.
song.
Yeah, spacey song. And also did this in this past year. Basically, the idea of kind of like a broken heart, and like, you not only do you, like, you don't want to be in the same town as this person, but you want to, like, leave the planet, not even be and be really far away.
Sure.
but also inspired by the idea that, like, in the future, we're going to be able to buy, like, commercial tickets into space. I think even now you can buy a ticket on Virgin Spaceship for $200,000. So it's basically the idea of somebody, like, so broken heart that they just want to check out, and instead of buying the house and the car and the picket fence, they just put the money on a ticket to space and go there.
You know, with Pedro here, I'm just, I think that's Mr. Branson, but there's this guy, Elon Musk, SpaceX.
Yeah,
they're Hawthorne, and they land. Their idea is we got to reuse the rockets, so they land the launch vehicle on this like football sized robot barge. And it comes into Pedro. I saw it. It's got legs. It folds out like one of those 50s things, space movies that look so unrealistic. The rocket's coming down.
Yeah.
It's amazing about... Understand, I'm born in 57, so Sputnik. And then the whole 60s is space race. I was way into that stuff. And dinosaurs. Yeah. So there's a place in my heart for stegosaurs, too. It's here.
Not going to buy a house. Not going to buy a car. I just want to travel far, far away from you. $200,000 for a ticket to space. $200,000 for a ticket to space. Thank you.
I think it's strap lock.
Yeah.
And it keeps dropping off. I'm not fucking dropping it.
You can't play in a wheelchair if you do it like this.
You're going to try and fuck me to death? Is that what's going to happen? You're going to try and fuck me into paralytics? Shut up on this plane.
song is fucking crazy. Cool. It's the craziest fucking.
Yeah, man.
Right.
negras noches tengas, amante muerte, un poderoso reptil para tus mañanas, un picotazo de araña inscrito en tu costado, una muerte sin saña, un amor helado. Negras, negras noches tengas, amante muerte, un ahogo sin las agallas, fallas en los dientes de tu reír quebrado, un lecho mojado, enjaulado en muchas rayas. Negras noches tengas, amante muerte, un insomnio febril, venosas hazañas, techos solitarios mordiendo los armarios, gramos despistados, pequeñas pantallas.
Thank you. I live under the trees. I do magic tricks for money. Woo. Put me away.
Watt for Pedro show, last music for this edition. $200,000 ticket to space from M.B. Jones that started off that block. Food for Thought. Thoughts for Chow. Then On Dolphin, Dance in the Kitchen. It's weird I got this CD. It was outside of a gig. Somebody put it between the windshield wiper and the windshield, and it was raining. So when I turned on the windshield wiper, here comes this. It's not even in a package, you know. And I thought it was this trippy name, too, On Dolphin, because there's a Miles Davis, you know, on Dolphin Street. So
right.
I'm wondering, yeah. And then L-A-N-G-S-A-M, that's an acronym, with a burning and conformity contortion when in home do as the homens do. That's a bad pun. And Las Victimas Civiles out of Valencia, South of Spain, Negras Noches, Maldivisa, Sea of Limbs intro. I just thought that was so weird. You know, just picturing the Sea of Limbs and then the intro. Whoa, you don't really need an intro. And then Xenia Rubino's Help, and finally Señor Al with When You're Gone. You know, Matt, you've had quite a journey, although your performing journey is kind of new and kind of fresh. But you've been with music a long time. And if somebody young getting into this stuff wanted to ask you for advice, what would you tell
them? The most important thing is don't seek anyone else's approval. And when people tell you you're terrible or they don't like your music, take that as a compliment, you know, and that you can be yourself. You know, I learned that a little bit later, but that's the most important thing, you know. And then you'll develop your own style, and it's all about your relationship to music and the people you make it with. And that's it.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. Take that to heart, people. Means a lot to me. And Matt, when you get done with this new album, I'd like to play it on the show and have you back to explain all the tunes.
I'd love it.
Okay. Safe seas, keep your keel in the water, but let the freak flag fly. Good people, yes. It's been the July 25, 2007 edition of the Watt for Pedro show. Keep your powder dry.